Welcome to Basic Business AI, a podcast dedicated to simple AI strategies for businesses who don't want to get an advanced tech degree or hire some marketing bro. I'm your host, Josh Thomas. You can find me on all social media at JT Literally. We bring on regular business owners like you, like me, to discuss practical strategies, ideas, and perspectives about AI without getting too far into the weeds of the tech. BBAI is sponsored by Anabots. Did you know that companies that respond to customer inquiries in less than 1 minute have a 400% higher chance of closing the deal? Our AI-powered assistants have an average response time of just 9 seconds. That means you can close more deals without generating more leads. No tech skills are needed, and you can get started in less than 10 minutes. Go to anabots.ai to learn more. Once more, that's anabots.ai. Today's guest is Tarina Taylor. As a passionate small business consultant specializing in merchant services, Tarina brings over a decade of experience in helping businesses thrive through streamlined payment solutions and financial strategies. Tarina is also an advocate for financial education at an early age, believing in the power of knowledge to shape better financial habits for the future. She encourages and supports minority entrepreneurs to take control of their financial destinies and achieve their business goals. Tarina, welcome to BBAI. One quick question for you. From your perspective, how is AI reshaping the future of your industry?
Thank you for having me. First of all, Josh, I appreciate the opportunity to come on and talk to your audience. I think specifically, just having AI to help you with honing in onto more like how you want to say the, your copywriting, your social media, any business strategies that you have, it can improve those dramatically. And also your effectiveness in creating graphics, design, anything like that. AI helps to quicken the process of creating those things as well.
And so what are some ways that you've been kind of experimenting or maybe even using that in your business?
Specifically with ChatGPT, I look into the custom GPTs to get certain things done. They have so many custom GPTs now, as far as if you want to write out a business plan, if you want to create certain business graphics, if you want to act like a social media expert with the prompting, you can get really specific on what role you're acting as far as what you're trying to get accomplished. I specifically wrote out a my mind is going blank. I hate when that happens. But I was writing out a contract for business. So it's, you can write out a contract. You can word it, correctly how you wanted to word it, take out some of those, technical jargon words. But I think it's really helpful to create things like blog posts as well. You can create SE optimized blog posts. It can help with so many things that it's just like kind of overwhelming sometimes when you get started with it, like what can I create? And then you kind of get overwhelmed with all the things that
And
you
then there's,
can.
and then it says everything. You
Right,
can create all of the
everything,
things.
all of the things,
And
all
then you're like, wait, 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 wait. I
right,
don't want to create anything anymore.
right.
Yeah. And that's, well, you hit on an important point there, because what happens is our audience is tuning into this podcast because they're curious about AI. They want to learn about AI. They want to use AI, but it's intimidating. There's so much out there, and you can very quickly get overwhelmed. And most of us are not AI experts. And so I'm curious, just because you mentioned it, it sounds like you've found some ways to incorporate this in your business, but not all of them. You just found the one that worked for you. And so can you walk through the process of eliminating the overwhelm and saying, all right, I don't need to know everything. I just need to get this one thing done.
I specifically, if I come across, I follow certain people who are experts in AI. So on LinkedIn, I follow a guy named Ruben Hasid. He gives you a lot of tips on how to use custom prompts and stuff like that. Then on Facebook, I'm inside of an AI group where the owner of the group gives out a lot of helpful tips, a lot of helpful prompts, have this special guest on there to give you ideas. So a lot of the prompts that I've come across that has helped me, I just created my own kind of prompt library on a Google Doc. And when I need to like refresh and think about the things I need to do, I go to my Google Doc, look through my Google Doc and see what it is that I can use as a prompt to come up with the best ideas. And like I said, A lot of companies have that AI detector thing, like where they don't want you to write certain AI use, they don't want you to use AI to write things. So there's a tip that you can use to, cut out some of those technical jargon words. It's part of the prompt that I use to cut out, because sometimes they come up with things that, of course, we're not talking like that. We're not
Like, ain't no human talking
There
like
ain't no
that.
human talking like that.
So give me a little bit of, because this is something that even humans are guilty of, is we throw a lot of jargon around. It makes us feel smart or something, but all it really does is make everybody's eyes roll or whatever.
Right.
So what is it that you do to just remove some of that jargon? Is there a certain way that you can instruct the AI to remove this? Tell me about that.
Yes, it is a certain way. It's a certain prompt that you put in there. You want them to avoid a certain word. And I have a word list of words too that you want to avoid. I know one word specifically that a lot of people get sick of is
Delving,
delving. Delving is a big one.
unleash.
Landscape, business landscape. It says that a lot too. Yeah. So some of those words you just kind of want to cut out, and yeah, that's one of the things.
Here's the thing about that, and like you have to think like, well, why in the world does it talk like that? People don't talk like that, and actually, they do, because that's the only reason that the AI is doing it. And you think about it like this. AI is taking all of the known knowledge available to it and sticking it in a blender and then pouring it into your glass and saying, is this what you wanted?
Large
And
language
you're
model.
like, ew, gross.
Right.
No.
I don't want that.
Nobody wants that, man. But you guys eat all this stuff. Yeah, not at the same time.
Yeah, but I think that's the misconception that people have too. Like, you just can't put something in AI and then copy and paste it into what you're trying to do. You do have to fine-tune it and put it towards your brand, your voice. And edit it to make it sound like it's coming from a human being and not from AI.
That's right, and that's really the key of it there, and it's that tiny little nuance that is the difference between people who say, this stuff is just garbage, and people who swear by it because they make that tiny little tweak.
And
Yeah, awesome.
that's the benefit of following the people who are experts in it. You get to get some of their knowledge and see the tips and the tricks that they give to kind of help you fine-tune your own process.
Yeah, and what you're saying there is just like this podcast exists to ease people into it. There are a lot of people that are way smarter than both of us, Tarina, and they've already put in the hours and they've
Exactly.
already said, "Hey, we've kind of figured some stuff out. Why don't you guys try this?" And that's like, honestly, that's how everybody learns anyway, right?
Exactly.
And so tell me a little bit about what you're doing now with Merchant Services, which I'm sure you weren't born, with a credit card machine in your hand. Like, this was something that you got out, you started figuring out on your own, and you started learning things. So walk us through the process of how you got started with that and what you do.
It was in 2021 when we were kind of coming back, trickling back to work from coronavirus. And my mom and I, we own a salon. So as we were coming back, I wanted to accept more contactless payments, of course, because a lot of people didn't want to use cash any longer. So I started to use Square, because that's what most business owners in person are using. And I realized a difference in fees as opposed to when if somebody swiped their card. Then if somebody had their card stored in my system, it was a difference, a variation in fees. So I started to kind of question that, like, what's up with that? I was thinking that if a person had their card information stored in my system, that the fees would be lower compared to if somebody swiped it. But it's actually the opposite way around. If somebody swipes their card in person, it's lower risk involved with that. Because if I was a dishonest merchant and I wanted to use their card whenever possible, their card is stored in my system. I have all the information, so I could do that at any time. And then there could be a chargeback issue. People could say they didn't pay for that because the card wasn't present. So since the risk is higher, the fees are higher. And that's something that I learned, and I was very interested after that, more about merchant services. It took me into a deep dive, of course, learning more about it on the internet, Googling things. I was able to partner with a company, and with their partnership, I'm able to offer the services to my community as well. So I thought it was a win-win because it's something that a lot of people, especially in my community, don't know about. Not knowing about the difference in fees, number one, but also knowing that there's options other than PayPal, Stripe, and Square, because most people think that they are the, since they are the big three, they are the only, and they're not.
That's right. Yeah, there's thousands of solutions out there that you'll probably never even, you can't
Exactly.
even find them in a lifetime.
Yeah, but most online merchants do use Stripe. And most platforms, CRM platforms, any kind of different software you use are connected with Stripe. Stripe is the number one for online merchants. So a lot of people think that's the only one.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily a good idea. You don't necessarily want to have just one relationship with one merchant processor. And if you do, you probably don't want that to be with Stripe.
Well, you
Yeah.
don't never want to put all your eggs in one basket. All entrepreneurs
Right.
know that, right?
Yeah. And we're all guilty of it because of laziness and
Oh yeah,
simplicity or other
definitely,
priorities.
definitely.
The thing that I notice about Stripe specifically is I work with a lot of marketers and people who sell information, and Stripe really hates them. It really doesn't like them. And it will just arbitrarily hold back money that you're owed for months at a time.
3 to 6 months. Hold your funds.
And you can't do anything about it.
Nope.
Or they'll just shut you down completely with no warning and you can't do anything about it. And that's one of those things where, Stripe is great because it integrates with everything. You click a button and, hey, I can accept credit cards. But that ain't free. And
So if more people just realize that, if more people come to that realization, I know most people, like you said, once they get shut down or they get their funds held, that's when they come to the realization. But I'm just trying to, get that education that you should get prepared ahead of time. And like you said, not have all your eggs in one basket and get yourself a legitimate merchant account. And that's my goal to teach that and let people know and get people as many people as I can into a real merchant account.
Awesome. And so where can we go to learn more about that and connect with you? And also, who's a great potential customer for you?
A potential customer for me is anyone who is ready to get rid of those people. Stripe, PayPal, Square, if they're
Get out
ready
of
to
here.
get rid of them, I'm here for you. You can find me
Okay.
on Instagram, I'm on Facebook, and I'm on LinkedIn.
Excellent. Well, hey, we're going to wrap up from here. Thanks so much to our guest, Tarina Taylor. For coming on and sharing a little bit about how she uses AI in a practical way to create content for her business. You can learn more about what she does by finding her on Facebook and Instagram and also tarinataylor.com. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. So, hey, if you run a business of any size and you have some ideas or strategies around the topic of AI, we'd love to have you on a future episode as well. We interview business owners of all levels of experience and exposure to AI so we can represent all voices, especially the 90% of us who are curious about AI, but not trying to be tech geniuses. You can apply for a future episode by going to basicbusinessai.com. And one more time, if you want to install a 24/7 AI sales and support team for less than 10% of the cost of a single employee, get yourself an Anabot. You can learn more at anabots.ai. We'll see you next time on Basic Business AI. And by the way, if you like this episode, tell your friends. See you later.